I want to begin by starting this morning by saying thanks to all of you who have come to surround Joan and her family in this time of both weeping and rejoicing, as you surround her to lift some of the weight of grief, but also celebrate the promises of the resurrection. This is a service in two parts, part one here in God's house, part two across the patio in two directions. Because of the rain, we've had extra room made in two buildings for a reception, lots of food, and time for more storytelling and sharing with family and friends. So welcome in the name of Jesus. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother in Christ, Bob, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. St. Paul writes in Galatians, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Many, at the time of their baptism, wear or put on a white gown. The white gown symbolizes the purity of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the light of Christ, and to be in Christ. If you're a Christian, it means you're a Christ in Christ person. And with that exterior garment of white comes the interior promise where Christ says to each of us, "I'm going to keep you wrapped up in my righteousness from now on, all the way into eternity." So this white garment that we call a pall that now covers Bob is, shall we say, the bookend to that promise. That was spoken long ago in a physical way when water touched him, but now is an echo of hearing Jesus say, "You got nothing to worry about, Bob. I got you covered." When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I invite you to stand, reach for the red book, turn to 779, and we'll sing verses 3 and 4 of Amazing Grace. Knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are with us, let us pray. God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother, John Robert, who many of us knew as Bob. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us as we mourn and give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and in hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The first of the scripture readings for the day is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A very short but very poignant passage from the book of Jeremiah, where God says through the prophet, I will satisfy the weary, and all who are faint I will replenish. And finally, a word that Bob heard near the very end from the book of Jude, these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. One more Bible verse that comes from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is a reference to what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And Bob's name was inked into that book on the day of his baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that alone gives us reason for celebrating today. If his name is in God's heavenly book, it's also written in an earthly book of life, chiefly written on hearts and in memories of times that were shared with him. Some have a whole lot of that story written in their hearts. Some have a little bit less. But all who knew Bob have treasured memories of the way the light of Christ shined into their lives through him. Knowing that the emotions of this day often prevent the many things that are felt here from getting here because they're choked off here, I'm simply going to say, knowing that there might be family, might be friends who would like to take a spot at that microphone and share a word or two, you are invited to do so now.
My name is Susan, and I'm here to represent a part of Bob's life that many of you don't know about. My parents and the Brundages met when my parents moved to Oxnard, and they both worked at Al's Chalmers. During that time, there were no children. They were just big buddies. Mm-hmm. And as children were added, first Chuck and Ann, and then me, and then Bob the baby. We all were together a lot. They bought property in Camarillo, and they flipped a coin to see who would take which lot. My dad said it didn't matter who did. So they built houses, and we lived next door. I had two brothers and a sister. There were four children in my big family, even though I had one biological sister. And it has been an everlasting blessing to me to have that. So I knew Bob. Well, when he was born, he was 11 months younger than I. So for 1 month, we were actually the same age, and I enjoyed that tremendously as I got older. He was an amazing, amazing young man and an amazing adult. And I have a few things that have come to my mind as I've been thinking about his life and what it meant to me. When Bob and I were young, we did a little camp out in the backyard. And we talked, and we slept. It was probably 1952. And in the morning, we woke up, and I went into the house, and I said, Aunt Helen, I have a joke for you. Do you want to hear it? And she said, yes. And so I told her the joke, and she says, oh, that's a dirty joke. Where did you hear that? And I said, Bobby told me. She says, Bobby, you don't tell jokes like that. And so it was my first dirty joke. I still remember it, so I'm going to tell you a 1952 dirty joke. What are the three most important vegetables in the garden? Lettuce, turnip, and pea. That was my first dirty joke told by Bobby. I'll always be grateful that I can hold that in my heart. We all did the same thing. We, you know, had a church at the VFW Hall. We would all go down and do the things that you did. All four of us would be there. Holidays, we were always together. It was just like I had this huge family, and it was the greatest of blessings. At one point when Bob joined 4-H, my dad got him two rabbits. And so Uncle John built a hutch in the back, and we had these two. And we named the rabbits, which I came to realize is a mistake. But Flopsy was the mom. And one time we went out there, and she had had babies, but no one had seen them coming. And all of a sudden we looked, and what she was doing to those babies was terrible. It was my first inclination that animals could be cannibals, I guess that's the word. And Bobby and I ran in the house and screamed for help, and they separated them, and he went on with his project. And at some point, the rabbits had to be dealt with. So they were killed. I wasn't a part of it, didn't know anything about it. But all of a sudden, my mother said, "We're going to have Australian chicken for dinner." And it wasn't Flopsy, it was Australian chicken. And so I picked up one of the legs and I said, "That is the strangest thing I've ever seen. It's not a chicken." And my parents just couldn't contain themselves. At this point, they confessed it was Flopsy. I couldn't eat. I simply couldn't eat Flopsy. Bob also had a butterfly collection. And the one thing about Bob that was so amazing to me is what a perfectionist he was when he did things. That collection was beautiful, and Joan, it might still be in one of those boxes because it was a beautiful collection. It was precise, and everything was labeled, and you know how Bob did things, just absolutely perfect. So he did the things that we all did, but he did them in his own special way. Bob would was kind of the star of the four of us. I was talking to Chuck this morning, you know, he was bright and focused and capable and shining. But also, he was the one, if there was going to be a little bit of mischief, it was Bob. You know, he did kind of crazy things. One day he decided he wanted to pull the car out of the carport. And he did, and he ran right into the fence. And just half the fence had to be repaired. But that was Bob. He had confidence. And he had the sense of adventure and ability to do things. And another thing that I noticed about Bob was the extreme focus. When he was studying, his mind was so keyed on what he was studying. You could walk in, he wouldn't hear you. I almost look for reasons to quit studying. You know, if somebody walked in, "Hi, how are you?" Not Bob. He totally held his focus. And I noticed that about him even into these last days. Very, very focused. But another thing he was is a procrastinator. And he could procrastinate and to the point where, like, if he had a paper due, he wouldn't start until really late. And then Aunt Helen would stay up with him and work with him, and she would be in bed like at 3 at night in the morning after she typed his paper and got it presented, because he put things off to the last minute. He still pulled it out, still did a great job, but that was Bob. In high school, Bob was the quarterback on the football team. And in his junior year, which would have been my senior year, he was playing a game, and I was on the sidelines, and there was a gentleman, I don't know who he was, but somebody that was nearby, and I said, "That's my brother." And he said, "Oh, how nice." And then just at that moment, Bob, in a fit of temper, stepped on the guy who was laying down on his back with his cleats, stepped right on him, and walked over, and he goes, "My, a bit of a temper, doesn't he?" I was like, "Oh, gosh." And I told Bob, "You could have waited, you know. You didn't have to do that then." But Bob did have a little bit of a temper at that point. I remember him chasing Chuck around the yard screaming. he just would go off. But that was part of Bob's joy. When he left and went off to Europe and to New York, I had the chance to go visit him in New York, just showed up at the restaurant where he was working and surprise him. And it was just so fun. And then we went to Coney Island, and he really wasn't sure how to do the subway, and we took a long time on the subway, which was no problem because definitely enjoyed it. And we went on Coney Island. We had to have a Nathan's hot dog. With Bob, there were proper ways to do things. And the proper way was to have a Nathan's hot dog, to ride on the last seat of the roller coaster and put your hands up, no matter how scared you were. Bob had a proper way to do things. And to this day, I remember that about Bob, that he had a certain way to do what he needed to do and what he wanted to do. I have been so blessed to have Bob and Chuck in my life. And I've never imagined not having Bob. So I want to say right now, my life will be different, but who he is and who he's been is in my heart. And how he dealt with his life in the end was so filled with strength, wit, character. I mean, he put his nose on one time, took a picture of him. He dealt with life in humor and love. And he set a high bar for me to look at my life. Toward the very end, just a few days before he went into the hospital, my son Tim went to see him, and he had dropped off some things before. And I know that Bob didn't have a lot of energy, and yet he took the time to put on the T-shirts that Tim had given. He and Joan had them on, and I saw those pictures, and I thought, what an act of love to sacrifice your energy to show love to somebody else. The Bible says, if you have not love, you're like a clanging cymbal. Bob was not a clanging cymbal. He was beautiful. He was loving, and I'm so blessed to have him. Bob, I'll miss you, but I totally love you, and you'll always be in my heart, as well as your first dirty joke. Thank you.
Bob and I had a special bond. We could talk about orange tractors. And he seemed very pleased that somebody knew about those tractors. I'm a Nebraska farm girl, and I had orange tractors for 26 years. That's all I want to say.
Go ahead, Ed.
Well, good morning. I'm Ed Myers, and I think the crowd, there's a few of you who may remember my mom and dad. Surely you know my stepmom, my wonderful Betsy, who joined with my dad years ago. I met Bob in 1954. We'd moved to Camarillo, our family had, and joined with the Halversons and the Brundages and the Jensens and others to form First Lutheran Church down in South Camarillo in the VFW hall, kind of a unique place, especially for two young men, Bob and I, who had time to kill between Sunday school and church. There's innumerable things that a person can do on a vacant lot when you're unsupervised. I'm sure that our parents would have not the same fond memories that I did. There seemed to be ample numbers of beer cans, which if you stomp on them, they'll fold up around your shoe. And it's not actually the thing you want to wear going into the church service. We continued our experience, Bob and I 1 year older, through 4-H. Pleasant Valley Grammar School, which backs up to the Halverson and the Brundage property. So there was Luther League, Then there was later on Camarillo High School. And we didn't do the same sports, but we were involved in sports at the school with the same coaches, same bus rides, so to speak, the same mischief, and just with different people. I would guess it was inevitable that at some point in time that his sister would become my wife. I know that I later heard from my dad and mom, that they're Betsy, that it was something that Jean and Mary had always foreseen, that Ed would find Susan as his wife, and she is my wife to this day. Kind of strange to think that we were, so many years ago, the first confirmation class with the First Lutheran Church, which was down on Arneal Road. And we can look, I can remember being with Ed Day, who is here, and you know, it was a sort of a hands-on congregation. And so with Ed, we were laying the cast iron pipe, and he was showing us how to tap the oakum in around the cast iron pipe so that it could be poured with lead and we'd have a sewer system. I don't know if you still remember that. I don't know that I've used it since. I really do subscribe to plastic and glue. It was years later that, after marrying Susan, that I became reacquainted with Bob. I had gone off to Paradise, and Bob and Susan had ended up in the San Francisco area where she was teaching, and he was worked for the Haas family, which we would know as the founders of Levi Strauss. And it was at a marriage that I joined with Susan, and we were coming there, and she said, Ed, here's Bob. And I said, well, hi, I'm Ed Myers. And he said, well, hi, I'm Bob Brundage. And it had been so many years that it intervened that I didn't quite recognize him. So it was from that point on that Bob and Susan and Joan and Ed, we didn't see a whole lot of one another, but we could always count on an anniversary card. We could always count on a Christmas card. We could we enticed them to Paradise once. I hope he's not going to entice me to Paradise too soon. But at any rate, we were friends, and we were comrades, and we shared a lot of memories. And the one thing I feel very strongly about with regards to Bob and Joan, and Bob in particular, was that family and community were preeminent in his realm. And so as he moved back into his native home there on Grandview Drive, he reestablished that sense of community and family and found it here at Mount Cross, and was always open and warm with us. And it's with this sense of family and community that I look to Bob and would use that as a guide in my life and remember him so fondly. So thank you for being here today.
I may eventually look familiar to some of you. I'm Jerry Warren, and I came to this church fairly recently, but I was privileged, my family was privileged, to be part of the Halverson, Brundage, Myers, that whole scene, which was so incredible back then. Bob's mother, Helen, was my third grade teacher at PV School, and I remember Bob always seemed like he was the best athlete around, and I think it was Luther League. We used to go to the PV playground, which was right through the fence from the Halversons and the Brundages, and I remember one time, it just stuck with me forever, I always considered him the star. And we were playing softball, And I can't remember what led up to it, but I was steaming toward second, and there was Bob waiting for the throw to second. And I don't know where it came from, but I did the most incredible hook slide I have ever seen. And Bob was standing there waiting for me, and he looked over, and he just was flabbergasted. He told me that was the best hook slide he'd ever seen. And I lost track of him after high school, but I remember in high school, I was the skinny little dork, and he was the quarterback on the football team. And where Sue said, "That's my brother," I would say, "He's my friend." Mm-hmm. So that's all I had to say.
Thanks. Thanks, Jerry.
My name is Joni Swindle, and listening to the stories that you're telling about Bob reminds me again of how many layers we are lucky to have with the people that we worship with. I knew Bob when he and Chuck were little people, and they weren't going to church in Camarillo. They were going to church at Our Redeemer's in Oxnard. And I can remember two little guys that had a lot of trouble sitting still in the folding chairs, which is pretty typical. And then I sort of lost track of them until 1961, when I married and moved to Camarillo and went to First Lutheran Church. And you know how people drift in and out of your life? We are so lucky that we have the history of the friendship and the fellowship with so many people. And Bob, I lost track of him, but I did know his mom and dad. They traveled with me, in particular his mother. I convinced her that she could take more than one vacation a year, and she went all over the world with me. And it was so neat to have Bob and Joan back with us here at Mount Cross Lutheran Church. So I knew him when he was little, and I knew him when he was older. And it was a great, great treasure to have Bob Brundage in our life.
I may be the person who knew him the shortest who will speak. My name is Susan Prosser, and Bob Brundage was my buddy. Sorry. I appreciated Bob's sense of humor, and he needed it the ways I knew him. He was my church council buddy, he was my budget and finance committee buddy, and he was my endowment committee buddy. Now, these are often tasks that we're hard-pressed to find anyone to take on, much less anyone who might find the amusement and fun in serving on any of those committees. But I know that Bob knew I appreciated and sometimes attempted to share his sense of humor. And so I hope that he viewed me as his buddy as much as I viewed him. But the one thing I'm going to share for the first time that Joan will ever hear is that in our house, we made Brundage a verb. And so I want you all to know what it means to Brundage. All of you who know and love Bob and Joan as a couple probably have not gone without noticing that they loved one another so much that whether it was by coincidence and just the sheer power of that love or by design, they were frequently dressed, if not alike, in very similar colors. So, on a Sunday morning when getting ready for church, if my husband said to me, "What are you going to wear?" I at first used to think that he was trying to see if I was going to relax our church dress standards and possibly thus allow him to, or whether I found out later he was actually trying to find out what color I was going to wear And when I later had found out that if I said, oh, I'm going to wear this navy dress, and he came out in a navy suit, I said, oh, my word, we've brundaged. And so I am only now sorry that I never shared that remarkably funny comment with Bob, who would have appreciated it and hopefully is hearing it. But you see, I've only been able, through that humor that I would have shared with Bob, to bring myself back from the brink of tears. And I want you, hopefully, to all know that for someone who only knew him after he came to Mount Cross as an adult, that the joy he brought to my life was immeasurable.
I often mention at this point in our services that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So we have a few more words to say about Bob through some pictures that Joan has shared with us.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm gonna take this light around the world, and I'm gonna let it shine. Take this light around the world, and I'm gonna let it shine. Gonna take this light around the world, and I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, hey, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I won't let anyone get out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let anyone get out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let anyone get out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Every day, every day, I'm gonna let my little light shine. Happy trails to you until prayers to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet.
Happy trails to you.
smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to about the clouds when we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet
again. From the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As you're probably well aware, at this time of the new year, a lot of people set to making resolutions. That's fine. Some are leaving that old tradition behind in favor of a new practice, that of choosing one word to be their word for the year, a word that will guide them or challenge them, or a word they can wrestle with or grow into. Sounds nice. I haven't chosen a word for myself this year, but I have found a word for Bob. Now, there were a lot of candidates in this search. gentlemen, to be sure. Nothing more needs to be said. Athlete. Are there any former members of the high school football team at Cam High here? Would you raise your hands? Anybody? Oh, there's a couple back there. Excellent. There are also some others who weren't on the same team with him. They were on opposite teams, members of our fantasy football league. Anybody from that group here? Just me? Okay. Well, Bob made it to the finals this year and almost pulled it off. Scholar. I've never seen any of his report cards, but he went to Stanford after all. And now we get to a loving husband. When you wrote that he found in you the love of his life, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I tell myself I'm not going to talk about their marriages in these services. I keep doing it because that was just the tip of the iceberg of the way he loved you, cared for you, and the two of you shared that love together. Brother, uncle, friend to so many, some of whom are here today. Brother in Christ. Many who are here knew him as that title. Sorry, that's three words, but one each for the Trinity, right? He was a seeker. I don't know how many times he'd stop me in Bible study, Sunday school, at Denny's when we were doing the thing, asking another question about trying to understand God better, God's word more deeply. And fighter. to the very end, a fighter. And many other words have been mentioned already. And those are all good words. Each one could serve, but the one that I decided to choose seems in some way, to me at least, to sum up a lot of those other ones, and that word is classic. That word is classic. Bob was a classic. They don't make them like that anymore. They seldom did in the first place. And there's a lot of things about Bob's life that you could say had a classic flavor about them. One thing, he loved classic music, which most of us call classical. He was a patron of our classical music series here at Mount Cross and a very avid supporter of it. He loved classic humor. We've heard some samples. I was looking over some emails that I received from him over the years. He never, in that spirit of humor, never missed an opportunity to create a brand new acronym, even if it had about 17 letters in it. And Chuck, I wonder if he really did ever send you pictures of his colonoscopy that he threatened in an email to me that he was going to send to you. Did he? He did? Okay. He loved classic literature. Who else would you ever meet who would send a quote from Shakespeare's Henry V in an email to the Budget and Finance Committee when they were getting ready to meet? And as far as classic stuff, probably at the top of the list is his love of classic movies. What can I say? He was a walking encyclopedia of movie quotes. And I dare say if he was in this spot today, he would craft this sermon full of movie dialogue in some fashion or another. I'm sure of it. But here's the thing. If something is classic, it means it is treasured. It means that it's precious. It means, ultimately, that it abides, to borrow a word from the reading I just gave you. And that's the most important way that Bob is a classic. In God's eyes, thanks to Jesus, Bob abides, and that makes him a classic in God's eyes. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." And those who Jesus sees as classic, as treasured, as precious, those are the branches that stay connected, and those are the branches that bear fruit. And Bob was that kind of branch. Just one example of many. If you go to our church website and you click on the link for Many Meals, which is a ministry in Camarillo that serves folks a warm meal in a warm and friendly environment, the video, the first face you see, is Bob Brundage. An example of the way he gave himself for others' sake, especially those who had much less than he had. And it's one of the many ways that he gave himself and showed himself worthy of being connected to the vine. And I know it pained him when his body would not let him keep the commitments to his God and to his church and his community that his heart had already made long ago. But he was a faithful branch, and those are the kinds of branches that abide in Christ. Now, those outside of our faith community might look in on a day like this and say, "Well, it looks like God pruned a branch off of the vine." No, not so. If there's any cutting that's happened, it's a grafting from the vine that we saw while we lived this life with him, in order to be transplanted and grafted to the resurrected Christ and to be joined by all the other branches that have been grafted into that heavenly vine and will live connected to our Christ forever. The commitment that God made to Bob in his baptism is eternal. In God's eyes, Bob will abide. And because, thanks to Jesus, God has made him precious in his sight, he is treasured, he is valued, he is worth keeping forever. In short, God, Bob is a classic. Amen. I invite you to turn in the front portion of the red book to page 282, not hymn number 282, but in the front 282, where we will continue this service with the Apostles' Creed, our Confession of Faith, and the prayers of intercession. So with the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Continuing on that page, let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God, the generations rise and fall before you. You are the strength of those who live in you and the hope of the blessed dead. We give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let us commend John Robert to the mercy of Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Bob. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. I invite you to stand for the blessing and our sending hymn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn is number 817, 817. You have come down to the lake shore. Go forth in peace in the name of Christ.